Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsicker. In today's episode, we're delving into how the role of IT has significantly transformed government operations over the past decade, impacting everything from federal policy to local services. Alongside these changes, the role of public sector IT distribution has evolved as well. We'll be exploring the key shifts in the public sector vendor space, what it takes to build successful partnerships in today's environment, and why a unique customized approach can offer advantages for government agencies. For our conversation today, I sat down with Art Richer, a former public sector CEO with deep experience and a front row view of these industry changes. I hope you enjoy our conversation today. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Art. It is a pleasure to sit down and speak with you. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, indeed, Lucas, as am I.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and jump in the first question. So can you start by sharing a little bit about your background and what you do?
So, I started my career after I graduated from the State University in New York with a degree in computer science. And I went to work for a services company up in upstate New York, building systems for the Air Force and DoD intelligence communities. And the company that I was with got bought by a commercial software company called Sterling Software, where I started to work in helping to bring that software, those commercial software products, to the public sector. After I left Sterling Software, I did a short stint at a cybersecurity company, where I similarly helped to bring those products into the public sector, and then joined a couple of my peers from Sterling Software to start Immix Group, which was one of the early public sector distributors in the market space. We sold that company in 2015 to Arrow. And then in 2017, I joined as CEO of the company DLT, which we also were in the public sector distribution world, and ultimately sold that to TD SYNNEX in 2020. And today I live in Florida and recently joined the board of 4Inc as they begin to implement the next generation of public sector distribution.
So, Art, you've witnessed the public sector vendor landscape evolve tremendously over the past decade. So what would you say are the most significant shifts you've observed, especially in the last 5 years, and what do these changes signal for the future?
You know, it's really interesting, public sector distribution's evolution in the 30 years or so that I've been in the business. If you go way back to the distribution function, it started with hardware technology companies and the pick, pack, and ship distribution function that they required. As you can imagine, computer pallets of computers and laptops, screens, printers, all the stuff associated with hardware needed to be broken down from the pallets and put into consumable groups of products for resellers and ultimately end users to take and to purchase. And so that was the function of distribution in the early days, years ago. Along the way, enterprise software evolved and started to go to market slightly differently than the way traditional hardware technologies went to market. Because hardware technologies enjoyed some pull in the marketplace, people bought those things and they needed to be accessible in many different places, enterprise software was traditionally sold to the customer. They needed to understand it was complex. It took more time for them to understand the value of the products. And so that gave rise to the aggregator models that were in place in public sector years ago, and most recently with the advent of cloud and managed services or as a service models or marketplace delivery models, that had a profound impact on the distribution community and specifically the VARs and systems integrator partners as they needed to pivot to more of a service-based delivery.
Yeah. So given your experience, what do you believe are the critical components of a successful partnership in the public sector today? And are there any values or skills that have become a non-negotiable in recent years?
Well, I think critical components of a successful partnership fundamentally haven't changed. But what you have to do has, I think. So you certainly want to make sure that you are delivering value and integrity to your partners and in those relationships. It's critical in public sector. Government customers want and, in fact, need technology to support their mission. And when you look at how these OEMs, these vendors get these products to these end user government customers to fulfill their missions, that supply chain from OEM down to the government customer requires distribution and partners in the service realm, whether that be systems integrators, value-added resellers, or standard resellers out there, to help fulfill and get those products to those government customers. And so what you have to do is bring value to that supply chain. You have to be looking at how those products, and it varies based on the types of products you're selling, but how are you bringing value to that supply chain, whether that's the OEM, the distributor, the partner, or indeed the government customer. You have to do that in public sector in a way that is consistent and compliant with government acquisition regulations.
So Art, now navigating government procurement can be complex. So what are some strategies or best practices that you recommend to streamline this process and better support public sector clients?
Yeah, well, when you talk about streamlining government procurement, that can be difficult. It's a bit of a sticky wicket, if you will. So you want to make sure that as you're selecting partners and you're looking at the value and the ways that they can help, you know, streamline that process, you got to make sure that they have the right people, the right processes, and the right systems for your business and the way you need to go to market. So what do I mean by that? So let's just take each component of that, the people. You know, if you're out there looking to streamline, what the people you are looking to hire had better understand the nuances of this government marketplace and indeed the government procurement regulations as part of that. And it's oftentimes you'll find a person or two in an organization who understands the culture and those regulations. But as that their business grows and suddenly you have hundreds, if not thousands of people at an organization supporting you, how do you get that consistency so that those people understand? You have to make sure that those people are trained and so that you have a way of imparting the knowledge from individuals to a broader section of your business. And so you have to have the right people. You have to have the right processes built that can consistently implement and verify the adherence to those procurement regulations. Again, if you can easily implement something, a process, but if you're not going back and checking to make sure that your people are implementing that process in the way that's intended and it's verified, then you can run afoul. And to streamline that, you have to have the system. So you can have the people and the processes, but ultimately you've got to automate that with systems to allow the scalability of your business as it grows.
So Art, can you compare and contrast what you've seen from larger broadline one-size-fits-all players to those smaller, more specialized aggregators / distributors? And specifically, as IT has gone through rapid transformation, how does government benefit from each distribution approach?
Well, I think you have to understand that public sector is inherently unique for these technology companies, the OEMs that are bringing technology to the marketplace, in that 80 to 90% of their business is commercial in nature. They only do about 10 to 20% generally in the public sector market space. And these companies tend to develop their broader go-to-market strategies with that in mind. They want to serve the bigger part of their market space, the 80, 90% that's commercial. And so I think government agencies benefit significantly when public sector distributors help localize the go-to-market strategies of those commercial technology vendors. And when you do that, you have to do that in a way that takes into account the culture of the government, the compliance regulations, and other requirements that are unique to this public sector market space. So going to a more boutique public sector distributor allows you to customize that go-to-market strategy that is required in that market space.
Now, as the demand for innovation in public services has accelerated, how can distributors stay agile and proactive in responding to new public sector needs and in keeping up with advancements in technology?
Well, you know, public sector distributors really do need to understand what the government customers want technology-wise. What are they buying? What do they need? And then they have to understand how they want to consume or provision those products, those technology products. they must align the value. The public sector distributors have to look at the value they're providing to that supply chain, and that allows them to get government customers the technology they want the way they want it.
Now, looking ahead, what trends do you believe will shape the next generation of public sector vendors?
You know, we've touched upon a few of these consistently throughout our discussion here. And the two trends in public sector distribution that I see is the delivery method of technology. Again, where delivery used to be pushed down through the traditional distribution methods to partners and ultimately to the government customers they would buy direct. Today, the delivery of technology comes through the cloud. It comes through managed services. It comes through as a service delivery models or marketplaces that are associated with these cloud platforms. So people are clicking and buying the technology that they need right there. So the delivery of technology has changed significantly from the traditional distribution methods that used to exist. So you have to make sure that you're aligning to that new delivery model into that supply chain. And secondly is compliance. You know, I think that public sector distribution is under scrutiny today. There's no doubt about that. So in order to, I think, effectively move forward as a public sector distributor, you have to look at the delivery model again that you're providing to the supply chain and always look at a way that you're providing value in a way that is not disturbing the procurement rules relating to pricing and competition, because that can easily get you afoul of those regulations and disturb the model and the delivery of those products.
Well, thank you, Art. This has been an insightful conversation. But before we wrap up, is there any final thoughts or key takeaways you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, I think that the world continues to change. I think the last question you asked me about what's going to happen moving forward, I suggest any OEMs that are going to market today really take a hard look at the value proposition and that supply chain and what the government wants, and make the changes that you need to make sure that you have a consistent route to market that reflects your commercial go-to-market strategy and what the government needs and the way they want to buy.
Thank you, Art, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested in staying up to date on the latest best practices, lessons learned, and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technologies in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit us at governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I've been your host, Lucas Hunziker, and until next time, so long.